Good day and welcome to the Westmont College conference call. Today's call is being recorded. Please be advised that your line will be muted throughout the duration of today's call. If at any time you have a question from today's presentation, please email all questions to questions@westmont.edu, QUESTIONS @westmont.edu. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to President Gil Beabe. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you so much, Sharon. As we begin tonight, our thoughts and prayers are with those who are really in harm's way, particularly in Northern California. So many fires have broken out because of the lightning storms that struck. And do we ever have a heart for those who are in harm's way due to fires? And we're just praying for them. Many of our families, many of our students are being evacuated. And we just pray that if you're on the line tonight, God be with you. And if you have loved ones or friends that are in harm's way, we just pray that you can help them. We are committed to open on September 28th. We're going to start next Monday with Zoom with our technology, but our numbers are all trending in the right direction. In just a few moments, Jason Tavares, our Director of Institutional Resilience, will give us a very detailed update on what the numbers mean and why we're optimistic. I do want to emphasize that it will take all of us doing our part to follow all the protocols in order to stay open. And we've had these reports come in from across the country of colleges and universities opening, some doing it correctly and being able to remain open, and others quickly closing because the students chose not to abide by the protocols. And we have spent all summer working around the clock, turning in a 158-page report to get approved by the county so that we can open. And we have all of the practices and protocols that should make that a very successful venture. But each one of us is going to have to do our part. And again, I'm just asking you to think about this in terms of, for one semester, we need to really undergo just a discipline of commitment to the well-being of the community, so that we can really enjoy the best of Westmont. Getting to live here every day, getting to have been quarantined in Santa Barbara, I can't imagine a better place to ride out this pandemic. And I just look so forward to having you back and being able to see you face to face and really being able to enjoy the campus as we work our way through this very significant challenge. For new students, we're looking very forward to welcoming you. You certainly have had an unusual journey to the start of your college career. This includes my niece, who will be entering as a first year, and I'm excited to have her as a part of this incoming class. It also has given me special appreciation for the new students who have had literally no rite of passage. Graduation was done virtually or in very unique ways. And we look forward to being able to welcome you as you launch your college experience. We're planning three separate weekend opportunities. We're still hoping to get to do those prior to September 28th, and our Vice President for Student Life, Dr. Edie Schultze, will share more details with you in just a moment. I do want to just emphasize how much care and consideration has been undertaken to make your educational experience the best one possible. Today I was with the faculty as we were working our way through the modified faculty retreat. All of us were online using Zoom. And it was just heartening to see how committed the faculty are, how much they're working to be prepared both in a remote Zoom environment and also face-to-face, and the diligence and care that they've taken to be able to pivot into any learning modality so that you can be successful. We do know that there are many challenges occurring all at once. We do want to hear from you. And if you need support in whatever way that looks, we really want you to reach out. Even if you're not sure you should be reaching out, please do. And be proactive about that. We're standing by and really want to help. And even though some of the interactions will be restricted, the important thing is we'll be together, and we will form community. We'll form just the heart and soul of our educational experience, which is the bedrock reliance on the Westmont community. And we want to be an exemplar. We want to be one of the colleges that gets featured across the country for having done it right. And we really hope that you'll be a part of that. I also want to emphasize that we enjoy an especially special and positive relationship with our wider community. And we have to be great citizens. There are many conditions under which we are allowed to operate. A 50-page, 130-condition conditional use permit structures our ability to be in this community. That scrutiny has only been heightened because of COVID-19, and we need to be very mindful of that, respectful of that. It's an enormous privilege to get to live and work in this community, and the community in turn holds us in high regard, and we really need to uphold that. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Jason Tavares, our Director of Institutional Resilience, and he'll give us some up-to-date information on COVID-19.
Thank you so much, Dr. Beebe, and welcome to all of you on the call. We really look forward to having you on campus in person here in not too long, and we're really excited to welcome you. I wanted to talk a little bit about COVID-19 case numbers in our county and how we're looking, what the trends are, and kind of what it's going to take in order to reopen as safely as possible, and what's really going to be asked of you as you start to repopulate on September 25th. So as of today, per the County Department of Public Health, we are at a case rate of 134.1, which is still trending downwards over the last couple weeks, which is really exciting. For any of you who watched my update last Friday, that went out to all of the student population as well as the parents, we were around 138 or so. So we're still trending downwards, which is great. So what does this mean for September? Again, I want to remind all of you that our current health order expires September 10th. We're anticipating getting a new one, obviously, that day or on September 11th. And we're hoping that a lot of the restrictions either will be the same or get loosened as we get through this this period of kind of wait and see. Right now, we are on the county monitoring list. Again, our case rate is above that 100 threshold. We are below the positivity rate of 8%. We're well below that. I did want to run through the county numbers really quickly. Over the last couple of weeks in our county, starting on August 11th, the highest that our positivity rate was 6.5%. It's never been above that rate, which is great, because over the last 2 weeks, we've seen that downward trend, and that shows that, you know, the virus is starting to dissipate in our county especially. So that's really good news. As we think about what the semester is going to look like as we start to repopulate, obviously on August 31, we're starting virtually, and we're going to be doing that remote learning that our professors have been working so hard on, and IT is when we're doing, you know, yeoman's work, as they've gotten everything ready, technologically speaking. But as we get ready for that September 25th repopulation date, we're going to be looking at the county monitoring list. As I said a few times in previous calls, we have to be off that list for 2 weeks before we can have in-person, indoor classes on campus. Right now, we're on the monitoring list. So for the foreseeable future, as the numbers continue to trend down, we're going to be on that list. We hope that by the time September 25th and 28th rolls around, we'll hopefully be getting really close to getting off of that list or already off it and starting that clock to get ready for face-to-face, indoor, in-person instruction on campus. If we are repopulating and we're not able to meet indoor for the face-to-face instruction, we're trying to do planning for good remote learning while you are on campus. We're trying to also plan for potentially having some classes outdoors as well, so we can meet face-to-face and in-person just outdoors. That is an exception to the county monitoring list rule that we have in Santa Barbara. So there will be options and opportunities for potentially meeting face-to-face when you get on campus. With that being said, testing is going to be a big part of what we do as we bring everybody back. The first thing we're going to do is a baseline test for everyone, and that's going to be starting the week of September 21st. So that Monday, any students in the area, along with faculty and staff, will start getting tested by ExcelTox. I've been in constant communication with them, and they are really close, and I ask you to throw your prayers out there, fingers crossed, and all those good things that you do for luck, to hopefully get a cheek swab approved for testing. That's what we're really hoping for. It goes by much quicker, it's much less invasive, and that's what they're telling me is on the table potentially. No promises, but that's what we're working on. If it's not that, it'll be the PCR nasal swab, which all of you are probably quite familiar with at this point. That's going to give us a good chance to get everybody tested prior to our students coming back on. or the majority of students coming back onto campus. The rest of you will be tested starting September 25th, that Friday, as you're coming onto campus. And ideally, if everything goes really smoothly, everyone will be tested and finish getting tested by September 27th, and we'll have results for that last group no later than Wednesday morning at the latest. The majority of you, as we're getting you tested, we're sending the samples off to the lab to get results, and we'll be getting results as soon as Sunday and early Monday. So that'll be a great chance to, again, see where we are and make sure that everyone is as safe as possible coming back onto campus. Throughout the rest of the semester, we're working on getting a deal finalized with CVS to have quick testing done on campus. It is a PCR test, so just like the nasal swab, just like the traditional, the 2-3 day nasal swab test that you have to wait for, but it'll be done in 15 minutes. So this will give us an incredible opportunity to get our arms around any potential infections prior to them becoming real issues for us. Additionally, we'll also be able to do not just symptomatic testing, but contact testing in the event that you have had contact with a confirmed or suspected case of COVID. We're also going to be doing random sample population testing. So every few weeks, a third of our population will be tested again to make sure that we're catching any asymptomatic folks prior to being able to spread the virus. Lastly, one of the big things that we're doing that's going to be a big part of our net of safety, if you will be the contact tracing. Contact tracing really just involves someone from Westmont, a contact tracer, calling people that have had contact with suspected or confirmed cases, or those who have had confirmed cases, and kind of spreading out that net of communication to figure out who they've been in contact with, so that way we can do everything we can to minimize the spread of COVID before it gets out of hand. The thing that I cannot stress enough is that it only works if you are honest. I can't stress that enough. Honesty, just like in every other part of your life, is of paramount importance in this process. If you are withholding information to protect people, you're really only hurting them and the safety of the Westmont community as a whole. If you want to have face-to-face indoor classes or face-to-face classes or be on our campus at all, we have to agree to abide by these rules, these policies, these protocols. And so I implore you to really consider what you're doing and how you're communicating those things to our contact tracers. We're not there to get you in trouble. We're there to help stop the spread of COVID. I cannot stress that enough. As far as our planning and what we're doing with the county, I've been in the constant communication with our county officials, particularly our higher ed liaison. They pretty much have my phone number memorized at this point, so they know who it is as I'm calling them. And so they ask basically, what's the question that you have today, Jason? I've been running all of our plans by them, and they're very pleased with what we've been doing. They're very excited about our testing. They're very excited about our contact tracing. They're excited about all the barriers that we put in place in between sinks, the limiting of only 2 students per dorm room, and all the things that kind of go into our safety protocols and plans. And I just want to reiterate that they are informing our plans. This is not a siloed effort. We are talking to them and making sure that we're doing the best things that we possibly can do to make everyone as safe as possible. So the big question that you have to ask yourself is, how can we do our part, or what can we do to keep Westmont safe once we arrive on campus? The biggest thing you can do is abide by our protocols and policies. Wear your face coverings when you are on campus. There will be a reprieve if you are exercising outdoors. There will be a reprieve when you are inside your dorm rooms. But outside of that, you have to wear your face covering. That is the only thing that really seems to be the great spread stopper. That, and you also have to abide by our physical distancing protocols. 6 feet is not that far. You can have great communication with someone from 6 feet away, but you have to abide by that. If you wear your face covering and you're 6 feet apart, the chances of contracting COVID are incredibly slim. I mean, almost non-existent. I won't say non-existent, but almost non-existent. So if we do all those things, we will have a great opportunity to get through this semester in person. The last thing I want to leave you with is, do not gather. Do not go to parties. Do not do those things that you're tended to do during a normal semester. It is hard. We are social creatures, and I remember very clearly being in college and in living that time of my life, and I can't imagine how difficult it must be. But I do want to stress that the reason these other schools are closing down, the reason that they are not able to contain the spread, is not from interactions in dorm rooms, not from interactions in classrooms. It's when students are not being monitored or not being held accountable, and they're doing parties and they're gathering when they're not supposed to be, and they're flaunting these types of protocols that we have in place. If we don't do the gatherings, if we stay away from partying, we have a great chance to have a relatively normal semester. But that is up to you, students. I know we have incredible students. We have a great ability to follow the rules here. I've seen it in my short time here, so I hope that that trend continues, and I know that it can. So thank you so much.
Jason, thank you. I'd like to turn it over to Doug Jones, our VP of Finance and Chief Financial Officer.
Thank you, Dr. Beebe, and thank you, Jason. Great report. Appreciate that. And welcome, everyone. Good evening. Thank you for joining the call tonight. Following on the theme of safety on campus, I'd like to spend just a few minutes responding to some topics that have come in as questions in recent days or weeks relative to the physical safety of campus. So let me just begin by controlling access to campus. So for those of you who know Westmont, have been on Westmont's campus, you know that our two main entrances, upper and lower, have not traditionally been guarded or monitored with individuals at those locations. We actually are going to begin doing that here in the next few weeks. We're working through assigning some campus safety officers, one to each of those entrances, for peak times during the day, so 10 to 12 hours each day, as many as 7 days a week. I just really wanted to keep track of who's coming and who's going on campus, and really just limiting the access to campus to those who really have a need to be there. And if you've happened to spend any time at all in the governor's higher education guidelines that came out a couple weeks ago for us to follow as we reopen, you'll see it was mentioned no fewer than three times that limiting access to campus to just those with a true need to be there is something that they highly recommend. So we are going to be doing that as well. And, of course, one of the reasons to do that is just really to reduce the number of variables entering the campus each day. So each of us, each individual who comes and goes, is essentially a variable in a large equation, and that equation we're trying to solve for is staying healthy and staying open and keeping COVID away. So the fewer variables we can have coming to campus in the form of folks who do not need to be here, the better our chances are of making it through the semester without much COVID at all or COVID-free. We're also going to be requiring those visitors who do come to campus, so perhaps admissions visitors, prospective students, those types of folks, to actually undergo the same health assessments that all faculty, staff, and students will do each day before they leave their homes or leave their residence halls. So as they come to campus, their temperature will be taken. They'll be asked four or five questions about their health and about proximity that they may have been in with folks who maybe have been diagnosed with COVID, just to get some sense of whether or not there's a risk there. If they answer yes to those things, have a fever, they'll be asked to not come to campus or to turn away. And if they're fine, they'll obviously be able to come through and do what they need to do on campus. So just want to give you some sense of that. We will be asking everyone to do the same things that we're asking each of you and each of our faculty and staff to do. Shifting gears now just a little bit to the cleaning protocols and the dining commons and the residence halls, those sorts of things. Of course, the college has developed a robust set of cleaning protocols. Those are on the website for you to take a look at. If you haven't seen those, I would encourage you to do that before you come to campus in a few weeks. Disinfecting and cleaning surfaces is really an important tool for the slowing of the spread of the virus. Even though the CDC has indicated that physical contact isn't a primary way that the virus is transmitted, it is potential, and so we are doing extensive additional cleaning and disinfecting. In fact, over the course of the summer, the custodians have gone through and done a deep cleaning of all the residence hall rooms, so they're prepared for you when you return. And again, we look forward to seeing you in just a few weeks. Speaking of the custodial staff, of course, they're going to carry much of the load on the cleaning, but we are ultimately going to make this a community-wide effort. So faculty, staff, students, in addition to the trained custodial staff, will be involved with doing some cleaning. We're going to ask folks to basically keep the spaces where they frequent clean and tidy. So whether that's your residence hall room, the desk you sit in a classroom, office, those sorts of things, we're just going to ask that when you're done with those, at those times, at those places, to use a cleaning wipe and wipe down those surfaces. Those cleaning wipes will be supplied by the college. We have got a store load and a half of those. We are good to go for quite a while. We'll be getting those. They are out now, and we'll continue to put those out over the course of the semester as they need to be replenished. But we'll ask that both in your residence hall room and classrooms and such places as that, that you do take some extra steps in keeping things disinfected. Our trained custodians, of course, are using professional cleaning products, and one of the products that they've been using all summer does have extended virus protection lasting up to 8 hours. So once they come through and clean, anytime within those next several hours, if the surface is contaminated at all by anyone who does have the virus, the cleaning product would take care of that, and we would not have to come through and clean immediately right after that. I would also just mention on the safety side of things that we have installed plexiglass dividers in all of the residence hall bathrooms, particularly the community bathrooms, I should say. And that's all done other than Emerson Hall. They're finishing that up this week. So by the time you all come back, all those residence hall bathrooms will have the plexiglass dividers, giving you a little physical barrier between the folks who are, between yourself and the folks who are using the sinks near you. Shifting gears now just for a moment on a question that came in about payments for fall tuition. With classes starting next week, what does that mean for the first payment due date? You may recall if you were on the prior call, we typically have that first payment date August 15. Given the changes that we made to room and board charges just last week, we did push that date back to this coming Friday, August 28. And by that date, we would like to have you either make your payment in full for the semester or at least make the one-third minimum payment. So we do have a payment plan, a three-payment plan system for the semester. And if you do make that one-third payment by Friday rather than payment in full, you will automatically be enrolled in the payment plan. So there's nothing more you need to do. Our business office folks will take care of that for you. And we'll just anticipate those additional payments coming through in September and October. If you do have any questions about your student account or any of the payments or making electronic payments or whatnot, feel free to reach out to our student accounts office. They'd be happy to help you. The best way to reach them is just to use the email address studentaccounts@westmont.edu, and one of our staff members will email or call you back right away. And then on a similar note, if you have any questions about your financial aid package, certainly please reach out to financialaid@westmont.edu.
Doug, thanks so much. Edie Schulze, our VP of Student Life.
Okay, good evening, everybody. I'm pleased to bring you an update from the area of student life, which includes orientation, housing, and most things that happen outside the campus. First thing I'll say is if you are wanting to come to campus to make a visit, you need to make arrangements for that through admissions. And those the phone numbers to do that are 805-565-6200 or 805-565-6000. So some of you might be anticipating that you're going to drive onto campus this weekend and move into your residence hall. I hope that's not the case because that will quickly turn into a visit rather than a move-in, because we're not moving people in this weekend. If you haven't heard that and this is the first time you're hearing it, then I'm glad you're hearing it. We will be ready for you to move into your residence hall the weekend before classes on campus on September 28. So you will hear a lot more from us about move-in dates the weekend of September 26, 27, 28. Let me shift to new students. Orientation has been happening all summer through Lunch and Learn and through the Canvas course. And this weekend, it is going to happen virtually on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Each of those days, we have at least one event. On Thursday, there's three. At 3 o'clock on Thursday, be sure to tune in to the orientation welcome session. And if you don't have information about how to access that, go to the Westmont orientation page, and there is an app called the Westmont Community Guide app that you should download, and that will provide you this full schedule, and you'll have access to information about how to tune in on Thursday at 3. Right after that, there'll be a small group meeting, and then there'll be a Res Life event that night. Friday, we're going to start the first year seminar stories series, and every new student has been assigned a first year seminar, and our provost, Mark Sargent, will say a couple more things about that. And then Friday night, it'll be a new student game night from 7 to 8, and you won't want to miss that. The orientation team has been working hard to make this as engaging as possible, given Zoom and the limitations that we have there. Saturday, you'll have a chance to learn all about our student organizations, and then on Sunday, there'll be a small group meeting for you in your small group. So orientation's happening this weekend, and then in September, we are planning for three opportunities for you to come to campus and visit before moving in. Actually, one of them would be the weekend that you would move in, September, the weekend of September 11 to 13, and then the weekend of September 18 to 20. We would target those for primarily our students who can drive quite easily to get here. And then the weekend of September 25 to 27, we will have some special orientation activities that weekend as well. And we'd like to direct the students who travel from a farther distance to come that weekend, because right after that, classes on will be here on campus starting on September 28. So look for more information coming on that, and we will be excited to have you here on campus, that's for sure. I want to tell you a little bit about returning to live on campus on September 28. How should you plan? Well, you've heard from Jason, you've heard from Doug and from Dr. Beebe about the importance of being ready to be diligent about complying with the expectations. Let me add just a couple other things. I would say keep curious about how you are doing, what you can learn through this new experience. We're all in the process of doing this together. So I've used the phrase from Liz Bohannon in the past, the inner beginner. Tap into your inner beginner. And we're all learning this together, so stay curious. And then the last thing I would say is keep adaptable, keep flexible, hold loosely to plans that you have, because things are shifting. And around here, we've been getting pretty good at adaptability and flexibility, so I encourage you to do that as well. Something else I would say is related to diligence about abiding by the protocols. Jason referenced how some schools are having to close because they've had big parties and that sort of thing. Here's the way that I think about it. You have the opportunity to self-regulate. You have an awful lot of influence over yourself and what you choose to do. If that fails, then my expectation is that the peer community will help you self-regulate. And if that fails, then the school is going to get involved and we will help you self-regulate. If you are not willing or able, for whatever reason, to help us keep the keep diligent on the guidelines related to COVID and being here, then we will help you self-regulate and make a decision perhaps on your behalf. So come prepared to self-regulate and then help each other. If you're sitting too close and sharing a meal, you're not wearing masks, somebody can easily say, hey, don't you think we should be wearing our masks? Oh, I'm going to scoot back a little bit. We're too close. So we've got to do this together. Let me just say a word about housing. If you have not yet received word about your housing, I promise you it's on the way. We are balancing a lot of, this is where the flexibility is coming in. We are in the process of de-tripling any triples that are remaining on campus in VK and in the GLC. So we are working to reassign those students. We are also working to assign students to temporary housing in September, specifically for students who are traveling from international destinations and students who have safety or medical conditions that require them to be in town. And then we are looking to make sure that we have a bed for everybody who's going to be here. So you may have been one of the students we communicated with about we're wanting some students who are interested in studying remotely or off-campus permission to live off-campus. All of this right now is a big jigsaw puzzle, and we have the edges, but we're still working on completing the sections in the big puzzle right in the middle, and we're getting down to the last pieces. So I would be really grateful if you could shore up your patience one more time and allow us to do the work that's necessary to get everybody in a bed. Dr. Beebe already encouraged you to reach out at questions@westmont.edu. If you have something specific related to student life, you can email us in student life at stulife@westmont.edu.
Okay, Edie, thank you so much. And now our provost, Dr. Mark Sargent.
Good evening, everyone. President Beebe mentioned at the beginning is today was our faculty retreat, which is we did it on Zoom, but it was a reconvening of the faculty in anticipation of a new academic year. And we had over 100 people participating. There was a great spirit in the group. We know this semester is going to be a challenge, but there was some excitement about trying to be creative with some new approaches. And I think overall a sense in which this is just not a semester to be survived. This is a semester that can really be engaged. There's a lot happening in our world that's challenging, that's raising interesting, provocative questions. And in many ways, it's a great opportunity for Christians to be thinking about our obligations and responsibilities and the ways in which we can make a difference. So we see this semester as a profound learning opportunity, even as we're dealing with some of the occasional inconveniences and challenges of the physical environment. We also see it as an opportunity for real intellectual and spiritual growth. Faculty will be contacting new students this week about their first class. Classes begin next Monday, and you will hear from your instructor before the class begins about what you can expect for your first day, how you connect to the session, and they'll be sharing syllabi and expectations for that first class, so you should look forward to hearing from them. One of the things that we've done in recent weeks, which we're excited about, is we've prepared a first-year seminar program for all new students. And we're really going to focus on your story at Westmont and the ways in which your story connects with others, the stories of others, your peers, those within your community, how it connects with God's story, and the ways in which we understand our own history in light of the great divine history and plan for our lives. As well as how we cultivate a missional or social conscience in dealing with some of the issues in our world. So we have several sessions planned. This will be a series of seminars where students will be in groups of 10 to 12. They have a chance to really get to know peers and professor before they show up physically on campus. And we hope it gives you a sense of welcome and hospitality and a way in which we make community at Westmont through ideas as well as the warmth of our welcome to the community. When September 28th comes and we're able to repopulate the campus, as we hope, we've already made arrangements so that all of the classroom instructional spaces provide appropriate physical distancing. Some of the courses will remain online. Some of the courses will be taking advantage of outdoor settings, but we want to make sure that the space in which your learning is one that provides for appropriate distancing to minimize the risk of transmission. Some of you are athletes. Most all of our athletic events have been postponed till the spring. We do have a few that we anticipate could be possible after a repopulation. Our recommendation to you is that you simply reach out to your coach. Your coach is going to work hard at keeping you informed, both of a training regimen, but also of what becomes available for you in terms of interaction with other athletes on the team and what the competition will look like down the road. One of the questions that we get is, what will remote instruction look like if we're on campus but not able to be in person? Well, some of that will continue through our Zoom technology or other remote modalities. Some of it will be what we call asynchronous. In other words, it will be work that students do outside of class sessions. It will be self-directed, but with the advice and guidance of a faculty member. Being on campus at that time, though, will allow some more small group meetings outside, chance for some conversation about class projects, and will be different from always using the technology to create community. So there will be some advantages, even if we do have to rely on remote, to being present here, because we'll be able to construct our small groups in different ways. All right. Mark, thank you so much. And now Dr. Reed Sheard.
Good evening. It's great to be with you. And I wanted to comment in three areas. One, the questions have come in regarding our virtual events In general, we are not planning to host large in-person public events during the fall semester. Surveys have been and are being sent out on virtual event ideas that we're discussing that would be large in scope. Look for that in the coming days. Make sure you respond so that your feedback can go into our planning so we can do these events to echo Provost Sargent in a creative way that people find meaningful. This would include the Parents Weekend in November. We will not be holding this in person, but we're working on various ideas. We will and are planning on active communication with all parents. This would be involvement from the Parents Department, Parent Relations Department, as well as the Parents Council throughout the full semester. And then on technology, just a few updates, mostly on areas I've already covered, so I'll go through them more briefly. I talked about Wi-Fi across campus. Wi-Fi updates, I have happy to report, have been completed. And all the repairs and updates are finished across in every building, including outdoor areas. This will help ensure great wireless service. IT is also near finishing support for Wi-Fi 6. As I've shared before, this is the latest Wi-Fi standard. We'll be one of the few, if only, schools in the country to be 100% Wi-Fi 6 enabled. This standard is 350% faster than the one it replaced, and the one before that, 802.11n, is between 5 and 600% faster. I've been using Wi-Fi 6 here for a couple weeks. It is really fast, and I can't wait to share it with you. The best wireless experience, though, depends on having updated operating systems for your notebook, smartphone, or tablet. We'll be providing you those OS requirements now that we know when you'll be returning, and also instructions on how to contact us. Hopefully, as early as tomorrow, the internet bandwidth increases that I've reported will be finalized from a contract perspective, and those will be in place and ready for your arrival. Internet is a shared resource, and so between the hours of 7 a.m. and 5 p.m., we'll dedicate most of the internet traffic for academic and institutional priorities, and then starting at 5 p.m., it'll be opened up for other appropriate traffic across campus. Two-factor authentication, which is protocols that are designed to protect your personal privacy online, have been completed, and we'll be working with you when you arrive in groups to implement that across the student population. This will be focused mostly on Westmont Gmail and the Google-hosted services like Google Docs. I do want to just remind everyone that cybersecurity is a vital skill in our digital world. Since the last time I've been with you on the phone, there's just been more reported issues of people's privacy being hacked and username and passwords being lost, not at Westmont, but across higher education. It is a clear target. So just be vigilant when you're online. And the more you're online, the more you're exposed to these various scams. The bottom line, the easiest thing to remember, never give your username and password to anyone. We would never ask for that. Only people that are trying to get to information that they don't have a right to have access to would ask you for that. Just a good practice to remember. Computer labs will be ready to go and cleaned and available during all the hours they typically are available when you arrive. Decentralization of printing to the resident halls has been completed. I'm really excited about this. I did look up over 600,000 pages were printed by students last academic year. It'll be great to have it closer to where you live and spend time to make that a resource that you can use more readily. The Canvas learning management system, this is the distributed learning that we'll be starting with on Monday, is the functionality has been increased. And so while this will entail a few new areas to learn, the faculty are fully ready to lead that. Provost Sargent and the faculty have worked throughout the summer for this aspect of your learning to kick off the first 4 weeks of the semester. The tools that we've selected are the very best ones available. But I want to reiterate, it's their skill in instruction, whether it's online or in person, is what makes Westmont learning world-class and transformational. And then I'll end with this. We will have student support in every residence hall. So after 5 o'clock and through the evenings, should you have an issue when you're on campus, we'll have trained student workers available to help.
Okay, Reed, thank you so much. We've had several questions come in, so we'd like to work our way through those. These are great questions, and again, we'll, I think, just to help bring clarity to everyone that's on the line. Edie, the first one, would you take this one? When will students start being approved for off-campus housing for the semester?
Yeah, they are in the process of being approved right now. We're hoping to finalize most of that this week. Someone else asked a question about in regards to detripling DK, who decides who moves or who gets to be reassigned to another room? Well, the students do. So this is part of the process of working through housing assignments is when we're waiting to hear from students, and students generally are pretty good about getting back to us within 2 or 3 days, but that's 2 or 3 days that somebody else is waiting for information. So we're continuing to work that through, and again, I just ask for your patience. There's a lot of moving parts to that.
Okay, number two, Doug, this one is for you. How will any other possible disruptions be made to adjust tuition, room, and board costs if that should occur? Will there be a credit to the student account that applies to the following semester, or will those funds be refunded at the point of time of the credit?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Yeah, so if there is a need to make further adjustment to the student accounts, really the decision will be yours. If your account is paid in full and if these adjustments then result in a credit on your student account, you have the option of either requesting a check and have that check sent to you, or you can just let those funds ride over and carry over into the spring semester and just pay less in the spring. So it really will be your option.
Okay, number three, Jason, this one's going to come to you. Will students be able to travel home for Thanksgiving and Christmas breaks? And I know we're going to handle those two holidays slightly differently.
Yes, sir. Regarding the Christmas holiday, we have no problem with you going back home, because once you go back home and you come back for the start of the spring semester, it'll be just like we started for the fall. We're going to do baseline testing and have all the testing protocols in place, and you'll already be quite familiar with those. But for Thanksgiving, we're going to ask that if you want to stay and continue to do in-person classes on campus, to not go home for Thanksgiving. Going home, if we have the entire student population go back home for Thanksgiving and then come back for that last couple weeks of class, we're just not going to have the capacity nor the bandwidth to be able to test all of you and make sure that our campus stays safe in that good COVID, hopefully COVID-free bubble. So that's kind of the plan for right now. Thank you, sir.
Okay, number four, will a COVID test be required before admission to campus, or will testing be done by Westmont upon a student's arrival on campus? Jason?
As we've talked about earlier, as you're coming on to repopulate the campus, we're going to be asking that you do that baseline COVID test, and that'll get us a good baseline for the start of the semester.
Jason, this is another one that's going to come to you. Could you please provide details about any quarantine required upon arrival on campus? How long would a quarantine be, et cetera?
Certainly. The CDC recently changed their rules for state and international travel, so the 14-day quarantine, for the most part, is not applicable anymore. However, there are certain countries that are still under the 14-day quarantine, and I do believe that Student Life has been reaching out to those students that have those international addresses and discussing those options with them.
Mark, this one is for you. What will the transition from remote to in-person class be like? What can students anticipate?
Well, the transition will not be sudden. We will be aware of our ability to repopulate a couple of weeks in advance. And so faculty will be working with students to lay out the expectations during that transition time. Certainly those of you that will be traveling from outside the area, there may be a need for some accommodations or adjustments. Your faculty are very much prepared to work with you individually on that. And the expectation is that when we reconvene in remote, we move to in-person after being in remote, that professors will really take some time at the beginning of everyone gathering again to sort of reset the class and lay out orientations and expectations. And we'll probably be doing that a little bit in advance. So you can expect your faculty to be very attentive to the challenges with the transition.
Thank you, Mark. Jason, this one's for you. What are the limitations for coming on and off campus for students?
Well, we're going to try and, again, create that bubble. So if you're living on campus, we're going to try and limit any outside guests as much as possible. We're also going to try and stop students from gathering in large numbers when they're coming on the campus from off-campus housing. There will be some students living off-campus that will be participating in the symptom tracking and coming on to participate, ideally, in face-to-face instruction. But outside of those kinds of instances, we want to limit that as much as possible.
Okay. Doug, a question about food. What are the to-go food options going to look like?
Yeah, good question. So we anticipate having two satellite locations in addition to the dining commons where you'll be able to get food each day, actually breakfast, lunch, and dinner nearly every day of the week. Those locations will be in the alumni gallery just adjacent to the dining commons and then down near Porter Theater for those folks who will be having their classes and such down that part of campus around mealtime. The Sodexo has a program called 1-2-3 to go. And essentially what it allows you to do is you choose a sandwich or a salad, and then you choose fruits or chips or some sort of a side, and then you choose your beverage, and then you're off and on your way. So it'll be, again, prepared here on site, prepared in the dining commons kitchen, and then moved to the satellite locations for dispersal. And just as a reminder, the dining commons will continue to be our primary food location. So most folks are going to eat there most meals. These satellite locations are really meant to be easy access, quick access. You can't wait in line if you're quick, have a short turnaround time between classes, and just need to get something fairly quickly.
Okay, thank you. Mark, this one's for you. What is the waitlisted process for students, et cetera?
Yeah, students that are on a wait list can normally they would show up the first day of class, talk to the professor, but in this case they should feel free to reach out by email to the professor. We need to be very careful of our wait list because we have carefully recalibrated the capacity in each of our rooms, and we want to make sure we're respectful of the physical distancing, so we can't cram the rooms full just to pull people off the wait list. But your professors are aware of the fluctuations, and usually someone is at the top of the wait list, things open up. So just be in touch with your faculty member, and feel free to contact them by email.
Okay, Doug or Edie, how will work-study function this semester?
Yeah, so work-study, for those students who have received work-study as part of their financial aid package, it really has two components. One is the on-campus component, and the other is the off-campus component. On-campus component is really the majority, the lion's share of students really serve here on campus. And those students will be allowed first dibs, if you will, or first shot at positions. So as you come back to campus in a few weeks, the first 2 to 3 weeks of that time period that you're back, the work-study students will have first opportunity to secure positions, and then other students will be able to backfill after that once you've had a chance to take a look at what those options are. For off-campus work-study positions, we're still working to secure some locations for that. You may recall, for those of you who have been on campus for a while, Cold Spring School is a well-used option for our students to use their work-study funds. Of course, like us, Cold Spring School is starting remotely, so they don't have students on-site for tutoring, but we are trying to work out some perhaps online tutoring with the students that you could do, or certainly once they're back in person, to have you just down the hill and working with them in person.
Okay, will parking permits be at full price? Doug, do you want to go ahead and answer that? We're planning for them to be at full price? And
yeah, that's the anticipation. We anticipate you'll be back in a few weeks to populate campus and really be here for the majority of the semester, so we would anticipate charging.
Part of the reality is there's just a sunk cost with parking, and the parking lots look great, and we have to prepare them. And this is just such a minimal amount of time, so we anticipate just uninterrupted. Edie, this one's for you. How are off-campus housing requests being determined?
Yeah, like I've said a couple times, there is some domino effect to some of this. So the detripling is one element of it. We've had some students request to study remotely, so we're working with those provisions. We have a number of beds on campus that won't actually accommodate every student that we need on campus, in part because of the the de-tripling and then the students studying from abroad being back on campus this fall instead of going off campus. So there's a lot of domino effect in that. And if you think about the seniority process that we usually use in determining housing assignments, that's essentially what we're doing. And some students who families are local, they're choosing to live at home and those sorts of things. So it's a big puzzle. You can think of it like dominoes. I mean, it really does. One thing, one decision sets the course for the next two or three decisions that need to happen in a particular student situation.
Okay, we've had a few additional questions come in. I'd like to just start with Jason. Jason, read your question and then provide the answer.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Beebe. So the first question, what happens if the students are allowed back and then the numbers rise again? I think that's the same question for a couple of different scenarios. One of them is kind of outside of our control, and that's the county. If numbers start to go out of control in our county, the County Department of Public Health could put further restrictions on us and kind of move us backwards again. Again, the trends and the numbers don't look like that's going to happen anytime soon, but that is one scenario. The other scenario is if we have an outbreak of COVID on campus and we're just not able to contain it, that could potentially cause us to have to send students home. But I want to reiterate that if we follow our protocols, we're honest with the contact tracing, let people know when you're not feeling well, and all those things that we've been talking about, we should be able to contain the spread if everyone abides by those protocols and doesn't go to parties or do any of those big gatherings. Another question that I have is, how will Westmont inform the student body if there is a confirmed case on campus? We're currently going to do that through the emergency notification system, similar to like Clery notification. I am following up with our attorney to verify exactly what we have to do to make sure that we're not violating any student privacy rights. But that's what I anticipate we will be doing, and that will be coming out. I'll make sure to inform the group in one of my weekly updates coming up this Thursday or Friday to make sure that everyone's on the same page with that. Lastly, can students leave for the weekend if they live nearby? We're not going to necessarily have guards out there keeping you on campus and forcing you to stay on, but I would strongly recommend limiting any travel that you do to only essential travel. Every time you leave the bubble that we're trying to set up, you are possibly exposing yourself to outside infections and risking bringing it back onto campus. So I do want to strongly encourage everyone to limit their travel off campus as much as absolutely possible.
Okay. Edie?
Yeah, I've got a couple here about move-in, what that might look like the weekend of September 25, 6, and 7. What's the projected move-in schedule? We need to make travel plans. Well, I would suggest that if you're traveling from outside of the area that you plan to arrive on campus on either Saturday, September 26th, or Sunday, September 27th, that would allow you to get moved into your residence hall and be ready for class on Monday, the 28th. Can students be on campus to move their student into their room? Yes. And when do they need to leave? Well, we want to keep our the number of people on campus to as low of a number as possible at any given time, especially if there are guests on campus. So we would ask that you move your student in, take the time to get them settled, and then plan to make your way back home. We're not going to rush you out, but we are going to say that there's no programming that weekend for parents, so we would hope that you'd be able to drop your student and move on back home. Is chapel mandatory this semester? Yes, it's expected. Reporting your attendance is on your honor. And I'll tell you what, this chapel is such a critical part of the Westmont experience. It's part of our spiritual formation plan with students. It's the time when we all have common experiences together. And thirdly, I would just say that the lineup that we have for chapel this semester is going to be one that you don't want to miss. So, and I've been talking with Scott about some fun and engaging things that we can do in chapel, and I'll tell you, I don't know that he's got prizes, but he should for some of the questions that he's going to be bumping onto students and asking them to report in when they submit their chapel attendance. Will students be allowed to create social bubbles with roommates? Yes. Study groups? Yes. Use your discretion. Again, we're trying to keep the community as safe as possible. We do ask and expect that all students will be wearing their face masks when they're not outside of their room or when they're not working out on the track outdoors. So if you have a study group that meets or a Kabak Stay group that's going to meet, those sorts of things, this is the beauty of the Westmont experience, right? Like, we're here together. That's why we want you back. So if you can make a social bubble out of the group that you're with regularly, that's fantastic. Second, last question I have here is what's happening with the GLC kitchens and cooking. We will have, at this point, we are determining with the county what we will be able to do in the kitchens. In the other residence hall kitchens, we have limited availability for cooking, and more will be known really soon about the kitchens in the GLC.
Mark, do you have any? Okay, we had an additional one come in for Jason.
All right, this one is, can parents pick up their students for Thanksgiving if parents travel to Santa Barbara for it? That's a great question, and what I would say to that is make sure if you are going to participate in something like that, physical distancing, face covering wearing, all that kind of stuff is still applicable because you are no longer in the same family group with your parents from a COVID standpoint. You've already created a new bubble on campus. Your parents are in their separate bubble. So we would ask that you abide by the same kinds of protocols and safety procedures that we have in place.
Okay. Additional question came in for Doug. Doug?
Yeah, just a quick question about how food allergies are going to be accommodated this year. You know, our food service provider, Sodexo, does a great job. Kevin O'Dowd is the director. He would love to talk with you if you have specific concerns or needs relative to your food allergies. He does this every semester, makes accommodations for folks. And certainly wants to work with you all. So the best way to reach him, email address, Kevin O'Dowd. His address is KODOWD. Again, that's KODOWD at westmont.edu, and he'd be glad to talk with you.
Okay. Well, let me give some concluding instructions, and we just want to thank you. We've gone over tonight, but all of this really important information. For new students, admissions, your counselors are available and waiting to answer your questions. You can call them at one of these two numbers, 805-565-6200 or 805-565-6000. All students needing assistance, just sending your question to questions@westmont.edu. It's questions@westmont.edu. If you have specific inquiries about housing, housing@westmont.edu. Financial aid questions, very similar. Financial aid, all one word, @westmont.edu. Or ssmith@westmont.edu. And the number is 805-565-6063. Any questions about your classes? Email either the provost at provost@westmont.edu or registrar@westmont.edu. And again, it's very intuitive. If you want an office, type in the name of the person in that office at westmont.edu. First initial, their first name, last name at westmont.edu. And we just are so grateful to be able to come to you this way tonight. When I was studying with Peter Drucker doing my MBA, he often said that we view interruptions as problems, and we really need to view them as opportunities because they teach us how to innovate, and innovation is the essence of solving problems. This is an incredible learning opportunity for us if we look at it in the right way. It's been a huge learning experience for us all summer, and we look forward to welcoming you back. I'd like to close our time now with prayer, and again, we want to especially remember our families who are under threat from the California fires. Gracious Lord and God, thank you for the work of Westmont, for the opportunity we have to do it together. Bless and guide us as we prepare to launch the school year on Monday. We look forward to the month of September as we just anticipate repopulating on campus at the end of this month. Guide us now, especially protect our families that are in harm's way, both from the fires in California and those who are in the Gulf Coast and the East Coast who are facing hurricanes. We're just grateful for the privilege of living and working in Santa Barbara and for the opportunity to provide the education at Westmont. Thank you for this time. Bless and guide us tonight. Christ, I pray. Amen. God be with you.